Well, Dr. Ayers, thanks for joining us here at CattleCon in Nashville. Of course, New World screwworm is a very hot topic. It's an unfortunate topic. We don't want to be talking about it, but we have to. And we know that it's on our doorstep in Mexico and more. And there's a lot of concern throughout the cattle industry about New World screwworm. So just talk about why it's such a concern, I think, to start, and just get us up to speed on where things stand here early in the year.
Yeah, Jesse, it is a hot topic right now, and rightfully so. It's an emotional topic as well, because we haven't had to deal with the screwworm since the 50s and 60s, and a little bit in the 70s. But we drove that back to Mexico. It took about 15 years to do that. It took another 15 years to go from Mexican border down to the Darien Gap, and. We've been able to hold it there since the mid-80s, mid to late 80s. And now that it's coming back, so we've got this a little bit of fear, because it's a generational thing. Folks my age, my father and grandfather, they dealt with it. But young folks now, and we're 1 to 2 generations away from having to deal with it. So it's fear of the unknown. So. And we talk about the economic loss that we're going to have. If we don't take care of it, we don't get it controlled, treatment in an appropriate time, there can be death loss with this deal. But it's also just the fact that we have to deal with these, terrible wounds. We're going to have some economics involved in treatment. We're also going to have a lot of labor commitment, so labor costs are going to go up, because now I have to go out there and I have to find cattle more frequently. I may have to, I certainly have to observe them on a regular basis. And then we've got treatment costs. We're going to have disruptions to cattle movement, because we're going to have a protocol in order to move out of a space that is infested or where the flies are, and we're trying to get to market. I may have to treat cattle with a certain protocol before they can cross that line. And then if there's a withhold, now those cattle got to be fed on the other side before they can get into the slaughter plant. So there's going to be a lot of these, and we're spending money. There's just a lot of extra people involved. So that's a lot of the concern.
Well, a lot of the talk that I've heard is that producers, it's going to start with each producer. They're going to have to be vigilant and watch their herds for any potential screwworm infection. So what are some things they need to be looking for in their herds? And then if they do come across this, what should they be, then immediately doing?
So the number one thing that we need to do as producers is educate yourself and understand screwworm, what it is. There's a really good sites around. Screwworm.gov is the federal government, and that's USDA, EPA, and the FDA are putting all of their information at one site. So all the links are there. That is a fantastic site for education. Texas Animal Health Commission also has a great site, so you can go to the Texas website, and then Florida has a really good one. Elanco, we're in the process of building ours. That's going to be, that will link off of elanco.us, and so we're going to have information there. And then as some of these conditional use or emergency use products are approved, or I should say authorized, then they will be listed as well. So all of the education is going to be the primary thing. If we understand it, then things aren't as scary, right? But you're right. We're going to need to be looking at cattle. We're going to be looking at them more often. There's going to be some protocols that we need to do. One of the other things that we can do is just have a good fly program. We got to remember this thing's a fly, and it just happens to go to an open wound. That wound can be as small as a horn fly bite or a tick bite. So if I institute a really good fly program and a good tick program, I reduce the number of those small wounds that I can't necessarily see, but the fly can. The fly knows where that is. Things like we vaccinate cattle and we get that little drop of blood that comes out after I put a needle in a cat. That's a potential site if I got flies around. So maybe we spray that with something like Catron 4 that's labeled for screwworms. Prevention, ear tags. I got to rethink about how important is it for me to ear tag, because that's a wound now. So if I still need to do that, then we put the ear tag in and we spray the ear with the preventative as well. We need to think about branding sites, castration sites, anything dehorning. Do we continue to do a full dehorn on cattle that have horns, or we just take the tip off? Well, there's a big risk in doing the full dehorning, so now maybe we have to think about that. So planning ahead and then instituting really good fly and then just wound control or fly control as well on those wounds is going to be really important. Those are the two biggest things. When it does come, everything will trickle down through USDA. So USDA is going to be working with state vets offices, and then if you find something, you're suspicious that's what it is, don't go hauling it to town, because if those larvae are at the right stage and they fall out, now you're spreading them, right? So we want to keep them confined, keep them in a space where I can clean, I can treat, I can do whatever I need, and then have the vet come out and examine. What they'll do is they'll collect the larva, put them in an isopropyl alcohol, a little jar of alcohol, and then they'll ship them in. And then they'll be sent in for identification. Because we have, we can have a wound that has other maggots in it as well, right? And those, all the things that we have here in the U.S. live on dead flesh. So if I have a wound and some of the margins are dying, the skin is dying, then they'll get in there. But this is unique in that they live on live tissue. So we can have, and you can have a mix. You could have some of the tissue that gets damaged from the screwworm, then have these other flies come in and lay their eggs, and then like a house fly or a secondary screwworm, they call it, that gets in there, blowfly, and lays their eggs. So they'll collect several of them, put them in there, send them for identification, and then once we know that that's what they have, then that will institute the protocol via USDA and the products that are available through the state vet's office, through the local vet, accredited veterinarian, to the producer.
I think the biggest thing to reiterate as we close out our conversation, you mentioned it, education. Making sure that people are aware, and you know, it starts with your local herd veterinarian, talking with experts such as yourself at Elanco, and, you know, looking at various products that are out there to help, that are coming online, all the different things, all the resources. It just comes back to education, right?
It really does. And like, as I indicated, you know, those sites, don't go to Facebook looking for education, right? I mean, go to a credible site. We've had three incidents of false reports coming off of Facebook. And then the first one actually changed the dang market for a few days. So we got to stay away from that. So look at credible sources for education. Talk to your veterinarian. Talk to, you know, our folks like me that are with the industry. I just want you to know that the viewers to know, or your listeners to know, I've been working on this since November of 2024. We saw that it might be coming. We created a task force at Elanco. We've had regular conversations with federal agencies since November of 2024. That was the first contact. So there's a lot of stuff that's happening behind the scenes, that's happening within the government, with happening within the industry, looking at products that maybe we have in other parts of the world. Is there potential to use them here? Is it logistically possible to get them here? There's a lot of stuff, and I think people need to understand that we as industry and government are really doing a lot, and we're pretty well prepared for this when it does happen. So I don't think that gets a lot of news, just because there's some things you can't talk about yet, right? So, but when it comes, it'll be there. Education, and then relying on folks that are in the know and in the business, and we'll get through it. It's not as scary as it has to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we appreciate the time and the conversation. And again, reiterate, education, education, education. Dr. M. Wayne Ayers with Elanco. Thanks for the time here at Cattle Industry Convention. Good to chat with you, sir. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Jesse. It's a pleasure to be here.